Not like when you threw the trash can at my BMW and dented the door forever.
When did I do that?
You don't remember throwing the recycling bin at my car?
At the camper?
She forget. No, baby. It was here. I was leaving and you were taking the recycling out and you were mad and you threw the recycling.
Shut
you
don't the remember, fuck up.
Why is there duct tape on the bottom of the recycling bin? Tell me about the tape.
Oh, I thought you meant, you know, no, see, duct tape? Okay. I thought you meant the blue recycling.
Do you remember when
bin.
The duct tape
I was like, bitch, who threw that at you?
Was
nobody threw that.
To the bottom of the trash
can. Whatever. Are we really going
to
do
that? No, I'm not trying to do that. Sorry. Okay. I didn't throw a rock. I just gave you a finger and I kept walking.
This episode of Dear Jessamine has profanity, sex talk, weed smoking, and a bunch of other shit that's just not for everybody. You also may not agree with the stuff we say or how we say it.
And we think that's great. We're recording today from stolen Ohlone land.
We promote cannabis medicine to people over 21. If you're not 21, come back when you are.
What I want to do to myself is self.
Hey, Ash.
Hey, Justin.
How are you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm doing okay. What are you calling in this week?
Safety. This felt sense of safety.
That's real. That's so real. I'm calling in. What am I calling in? I don't know. Just here. Just be here. That's what I'm calling in. Can I start with a What's New in Paradise? Do you mind? Very good. I have been thinking a lot this morning about, well, not, I don't know. I guess I've been thinking about it a lot, but like not really that much ultimately. I think I've been just kind of being, but I was reflecting on a conversation that we had before I started my practices this morning. It was a very explosive and incendiary conversation. And it was the most recent time that we've communicated. That was the last time I talked to you was that. And now we're here doing the show. And I was thinking also about a conversation that we had in the night. And it really made me reflect on how on this show, I really ask for, without asking sometimes, a level of vulnerability from you that I don't offer. And it came up in conversation yesterday during our strategy meeting about this show
with Kylie.
And it came up in a different way in the night. We were talking about how you have another friend who is a water sign, a Pisces, similar to me, does not offer a lot of themselves in conversation all the time, that they stay quiet and let you speak.
Mm-hmm.
And I was offering explanation for that in conversation with you in the night. But I also this morning was just thinking about how like there are a lot of explanations for keeping quiet. But the biggest thing is not wanting to share, not wanting to be vulnerable. And I've had a very easy scapegoat with that through this situation that we're in right now, where our relationship is expanding and you have another partner and I have been flirting with people. And that has allowed, because of the lack of clarity and the amount of protection and safety that I'm trying to offer the people that have not co-signed to be talked about on this show, it makes space for me to not be vulnerable and to stay in my shell. And then requires that you be vulnerable because you are being honest in your relationships and you are being forthright, and it is having an impact on our relationship. And this is something that you have said before many times, and I think I come to this show feeling very defensive. And I think, you know, it's in the morning and I've been trying to like figure out the scheduling of like needing to work and like also be vulnerable on the show. It's just like really hard for me to find the balance with all that. And so especially like as shit has intensified, and like if you listen to this show, then you know about, you've literally been you've been riding shotgun with us for this whole thing through our like getting on the road and living in a like 50 something square foot space together, and then like moving to California, but before that not knowing that we were moving to California, and like there's like new partners and all of this shit is happening at the same time. And I'm like, not, I come to this space, which I think is actually like a really safe container for us. I come to this space with my dukes up, like barred, like fighting with you. And we come through, I think that's one of the really cool things about this show is that we are forced to like talk it all the way out so that like we come to a place of, I don't even know, just standing and looking at each other. Well, whatever. I'm rambling a lot and I hope that some of this is usable. But what I'm trying to say is that you said this shit before, some version of what I just said. And I have pushed back against it because I'm feeling defensive. And I just wanted to say that you were right. I don't know. I could be reading into this a lot, as Cancers are prone to do that. After our strategy meeting yesterday, which was, as I've already mentioned, a bit explosive, Kylie sent through our episode outline for today, and we had planned to answer a Deary query today. And the way the Deary query is spelled out in the outline is very much like, I felt like, Kylie, you wanted us to read this question that this person asked us, because some of the things that they said in the question that were not actually about the question, it was just them being nice to us. And some of the things that they said in this question, I really needed to read after that meeting, because I was really feeling like a loss of vision and direction with this show, because it is very emotionally stressful. But reading it felt like the most Piscean way of connecting with us after the meeting, and also offering such a space, it was such an addition to the space of healing. So I don't feel like any of this introspection would have been possible without that.
I always appreciate when you share candidly, for sure. I think it, this book that I read talks about in relationships, not being candid is like the worst choice that you, and what results is not necessarily fighting, it's boredom. Mm. So that when you're not being candid with your partner, you are bored. They are bored with you. You get bored. And then sometimes people get mad when they get bored, because either it's a change in what used to be, or Beyonce said, something don't feel right because it ain't right.
Something don't feel right
because it ain't right. Finish it. Yeah. And that's just how it has been. A lot of what you said sort of spoke to that for me, that like, I'm not here to tell you what your relationship is. I'm just saying something don't feel right because it ain't right. And to be rejected on that wholesale feels like the lack of candor that causes boredom and eventually ends relationships. So a step away from that feels amazing to me, because it's not my dream. And I think too, like, I could be right in theory or right. I don't actually believe in right and wrong. I don't think I'm right about anything. I don't think you were wrong about something. I just think that it's always an opportunity to learn more. And what I'm learning in all of this is that it doesn't matter what's right. It doesn't matter who should be doing what or saying what to whom. What I need is something different. Mm. And I need to frame it that way to you. Not that you're doing wrong, but this is something I need. And if we can't work that out, like, I need to figure out a different connection with you that I don't feel like I'm on Tinder hooks all the time being lied to. You know, it would be one thing if I just pointed out truths. You know, I'm very like, I have control issues that come from insecurity, and I'm sure people relate to this, you know? So it's not that it's just me being like, well, now, Jessamyn, that doesn't seem consistent with what you're doing. You know, it's not that. I wish nothing. I wish I could say nothing and just let you experience all of the lessons you're experiencing right now and have them and not complicate them for you and just be in my office. And if you want to chat about something, be like, I'm free in 30 minutes. I'd love to smoke weed and hear about your day, but then I got to get back to it or whatever. I wish that desperately. And I don't think I've ever been given a model of that. I don't know always how to locate any of that in my body. Like, I don't know what the skill set is that I don't have, or else I'd be saying something different right now. But the thing you said to me this morning that really set things off didn't feel like me picking a fight with you.
Mm.
It felt like the opposite.
Mm.
Do you feel like you were picking a fight with me? You don't have to answer that. It felt like you were picking a fight with me.
Probably. Yeah, I probably was picking a fight with you.
I mean, I was trying to be snarky.
Yeah. And I wish I could just let that ride. I want you to be able to have your reaction. I want you to be able to say shit that comes up. Like, I don't like that. Whatever. I want you to be able to experience all of that without me losing it. You know, I think what I identified today is I feel so trapped in that friend that you were talking about, the Pisces. I talked to her this morning. She's one of my favorite people to remind me how sweet the world can be and how important I am in it, because she is that to me. So important and so sweet. And I love her very much. And we got on the phone. She's like, how are you? And I was like, I'm okay. How are you? And she said, yeah, it's been a little tricky. Tell me what's going on for you. And I was like, no, I want to hear about yours immediately. Like, what the fuck? You're not doing this again. She's like, no, it's not like a big deal. It's just like, whatever. And I'm like, okay, what is it? And so she was telling me about different things. And, you know, I love hearing about her life. I love hearing about her things. And she tries not to. And it's just not her practice. It's not right or wrong. I'm just like, I need from you too, you know? And then she was asking me about my stuff and I was able to say some of it. Even just talking to her, she's the kind of person that makes me feel like all of my things are valid and not the most important thing in my whole life. All of my struggles, you know, somehow it's a balancing act and she rocks it. I appreciate that. Thanks for bringing her in the space.
She's a good person.
It's true. Those Pisces in our lives.
I love a Pisces.
So thanks for speaking to what you spoke to. And, you know, I have so much opportunity in that to look at the ways that I am also contributing to why you wouldn't speak openly about your stuff. You know, I have a really hard time with this whole situation and I have really big reactions when you talk about it. And so I get why you would keep some of that close to your vest, you know, for a little balance on that whole situation. Thanks.
I really appreciate you saying that.
Yeah.
I also think that what you just said is low-key a really good segue into the Deary Query. Thanks for sending in a Deary Query. And you can email those to, what's the email address?
You can go to the website.
Oh, yeah, just go to the website.
There's a form. Yeah.
Here's a query. Do you think a monogamous person can be wild? Do you think there's enough potential to explore sexually, emotionally in a one-on-one relationship? Can a mono person find as much adventure and challenge as a poly person? Don't say the name.
Correct.
Yeah. Thanks. Shout out to the sender of this letter. Okay. The reason I thought this was a good segue point is because you were talking about like this idea of bad poly, which like, I agree with you wholeheartedly that you have your poly that is informed by your life experiences. I have my poly that is informed by my life experiences. They're both fully guided by our astrology also and what we need. And there's no good or bad in that paradigm. And this person is offering the idea of
like, can monogamous people have fun too? Like, do and like learn about themselves? Or is monogamy just like a space where it is only one way? And I think that monogamy has as many definitions as polyamory does. And I also think that monogamy is like a really beautiful practice as like a thing to offer to yourself and to offer to another person. And this is something that I've only come to through talking about polyamory so much and being poly. And our first season was literally called Polyamory is Not for Everybody, mm-hmm. because like, I feel like not everybody's polyamorous. Like, a lot of people are monogamous.
Why? Let's talk about reasons that we think people choose poly versus choose monogamy.
I think that there
is that speculative too much?
No, I mean, I think it's just going to be like us thinking about like why
observations. Yeah.
I mean, I always revert to astrology because to me, it is something that can't really be argued with. It's subjective, but it's ultimately based on your birthday. And like, that's just a fact. This physical body was born on a certain day.
You have to observe patterns on some level or another. You have to give a fuck about a pattern and let that be informative in order to even believe the birthday stuff.
Oh, that's real. That's a really good point. Well, okay. Yeah. But so what I'm going to say is just based off of astrology though. Like, I think that I think that my astrology is part of why I'm polyamorous. I have my Venus is in Gemini. It lends to this duality of identity and like needing to express all of that and live truly in that. And with that, I think there's also a full understanding of the self, that it is something that's like not belonging to another human being. And so ultimately your first relationship is with yourself, to just get that. And I think that all of that shit makes it hard to be monogamous for me. I don't know what it is like for anybody else. And maybe there are Venus and Geminis who are also monogamous, but that feels like a match for me. But in that exact same way, if your Venus was in Capricorn, for example, I could see how maybe you would feel differently about that. And that maybe there are plenty of Venus and Capricorns who are poly, but like, I could just see how, or Venus and Virgo or something. I don't know why earth signs. I'm like, I don't know. Y'all feel like maybe you just want to hang tight with one person, but I don't know. I just think that there are reasons spiritually that you would need one thing or another. And like, I don't think it's about good or bad. It just is. What do you think?
Well, I think there's this interesting false dichotomy of like monogamy and polyamory being like tame or wild. I mean, this question asker offered it. I know so many fucking boring ass poly. I mean, boring in the sense of like sexually exploring, mm-hmm. boring. I know asexual poly people, like there's all, you know, there's not wild. I don't know. It needs to be so wild. And I know that different life stages, you know, often inspire different levels of wildness. And, you know, there's so many factors, I guess is what I'm saying. But I don't think that the like multi-person love and affection practice is even, has to be all that sexual, I guess is what I'm saying. So there's so many factors that it's like, I don't think anybody is one way. I don't think anybody's one way throughout their lifetime. I don't think that lessons come in the same packages for everybody. That's, I guess, sort of what I've been thinking this whole time. Not that this person says poly people are wild, but the question is, do you think a monogamous person can be?
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I just wanted to sort of address I don't think that being poly even means that you'd be fucking lots of people or even that you're dating lots of people. Like, I think there's a recognition of, and this is why the acknowledgement, going back to what we said earlier, this is why the like candor and acknowledgement feels so important. Like the most important part of polyamory actually to me feels like the radical honesty, way more than the fucking, way more than any of the connections with other people, is the connection with yourself that you can say out loud to another person or yourself or God or anybody, your journal, the podcast, us, when you write in your Dear Query or write a review for the show on Apple Podcasts. I feel like being able to be candid and open with yourself and tell the truth as you best know it. The truth being like, you know, living your practice, living your words. I mean, if you say something and you do it, I feel like that is aligned with like a self-truth. When you say something and do something else, that is just one aspect, one element of not telling yourself the truth. But that when you can, that's what my poly is all about. Like the point of my poly is to be like, whomever I'm speaking to, even if it's nobody, that whatever I'm saying is the truth. And I know people feel really differently about what polyamory is, but that's what polyamory is to me. Mm. And in that space of radical honesty, it's true, you sort of are afforded different opportunities, sexually and otherwise, to have connections that I feel like monogamy really, when it's not being thought about as interestingly as this person is thinking about it, I think monogamy is just a set of boundaries to keep everything in order.
Mm-hmm.
And order is the opposite of creativity, in my opinion. Mm. My life is led by and really very much guided by creativity mm-hmm. in all things. That's what queerness is, the definition of queerness for me is just creativity. Mm. So all of those together, my queer poly just means being honest about my creativity.
Mm-hmm.
And so to really just button it up, I feel like in a broad way, yes, monogamous people can be wild.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think it's about sex.
That's it. Exactly.
But I have way more to say, but that was my answer to your question.
I think that's exactly right. And I think that, but I also think that this person is asking about sex.
Totally. No, I just wanted to start totally. With
no.
That false dichotomy being so present in the culture.
I
think it's super present.
I fully agree with you. And I think that one of the reasons that people struggle with this question of like whether or not to be monogamous is because they're like, I really want to fuck other people. Like I do, but I don't want my partner to go anywhere. Yeah. So how do we make those two things work?
We actually
together?
Had one of my favorite questions on the first season was, I want to fuck my work friend, but,
oh, yeah.
and her husband's cool with it and my husband's cool with it, but, I'm not cool with him quote stepping out. So what do I do? My favorite. I was like, bitch, you better tell the truth. I was like, you're great at poly already.
I mean, that makes perfect sense. And honestly, that has been the root, I think, of a lot of the jealousy, at least from my perspective. I'm not speaking for you, but the root of my jealousy in our relationship is like, well, like, I want to do it. I need to do when I need to do it. But what you do, I have more questions about. I think that I would
so
like
glad
to.
You're saying that.
Why?
Well, I felt that yesterday. I was feeling, I was having a bad day yesterday. Mm. I had, last week I got attacked by a dog. It was a really big, scary, powerful fucking dog. We were in a fight. I got out of the car like Cher did in Clueless with an Elton, tried to sexually assault her.
No, and, wait. You're saying we did.
You and I were
okay,
in the car.
Okay, first, the way you said it, I thought it was you and the dog.
No,
I was
sorry. Like, yeah, no. We got in a fight too, but no. You and I
you
got,
and
were
I got
driving.
Yeah.
We got in an argument. Mm-hmm. Same argument we get in every day of every week. It's fine.
Yeah.
Why learn? Why change? Why grow?
It's learning and changing.
So I realized earlier in that morning that I wanted to take a big, long hike, a big, long walk, but I didn't. This is the problem with, okay, this is great, actually. This is the problem with not being able to be radically honest with yourself is that like I wanted to kick it with you and I wanted to go on a walk with you, but you didn't want to. And so I was like, oh, okay, well, I don't want to then. But then what happened is we got in a fight in your truck and you stopped at a stoplight and I jumped my fucking foster kid ass self out of the car in the middle of an intersection.
We were taking the propane tank to be filled also, and the propane tank came tumbling
you
out
don't
of the vehicle
want the propane
also.
Tank to fall out of a high truck. You don't that damage on that tank. Yeah, so I picked it up and I put it back in the car and I shut the door and I walked home for an hour. And, you know, I did think about on the way, right when I started walking, like how hard that must be for you. Like, I can't imagine if you got out, I would never.
No, totally.
I would never.
No, this is the thing about it, though. You got out of the car and I was like, this bitch is really gonna walk away from me. And I was like, okay. So I turned around and I went over to where you were. It was very Sharon Elton outside of the liquor store or wherever in Clueless.
Circus
liquors. Totally. But like I pulled up by you and I was like, I rolled down the window and I was trying to talk to you. I don't even know what I said, but you
gave me the finger. I was like, bitch, I was crying.
Like, but the only reason I gave you the finger is because I wanted you to choose to go.
I wanted
you to not feel like you had to keep coming and asking if I wanted a ride. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I was like, what will repel? What will
absolutely
expel?
You do the worst thing.
There was a rock on the ground. You do have a brand new truck. Not the word. Not like when you threw the trash can at my BMW and dented the door forever.
When did I do that?
You don't remember throwing the recycling bin at my car?
At the camper?
She forget. No, baby. It was here. I was leaving and you were taking the recycling out and you were mad and you threw the recycling.
Shut the fuck up.
Why is there duct tape on the bottom of the recycling bin? Tell me about the tape.
I thought you meant, I thought you meant the blue recycling bin. Bitch, who threw that at you? Nobody threw that.
To the bottom of the trash can.
Whatever. Are we really going
to
do
that? No, I'm not trying to do that. Sorry. Okay. I didn't throw a rock. I just gave you a finger and I kept walking. And I called you with the 1% battery left on my phone and said, this is such a long story, and said, hey, I'm good. I'm going to just walk. It's only an hour. Like, I'll see you at the house. Mm-hmm. You're like, okay. So I'm walking. Amazing things. I'm discovering the world. I'm remembering who I am. My life is good. I know that the world is bigger than what feels limiting by our conflict. And that is what gets scary in our conflicts. I'm like, there's nothing else on earth but this. And this is bad, you know? So anyway, I was like, this is great. I'm getting to the street. I've been walking 56 minutes. So I'm rounding the corner and this 100-pound pit bull jumps over this fence. And I'm like, I love dogs. I got a pit bull tattooed on my arm. Like, I adore a pit bull. You know what I mean? Like, with all of me. They are me. I am them. Mm-hmm. And so he's coming at me. He is not aggressive, but he is not happy. You know what I mean? Like, he's investigating me in a very forceful way, and he just starts biting me. I mean, he it was bad, and I fell, and my body's wrecked. I mean, I feel like I'm in pain all the time. I can't sleep well because there's no comfortable positions, and I've got these wounds that I'm tending to multiple times a day, and all of that is just. There was a person who was driving who stopped and helped me. I jumped in their car, and we were able to get away from the dog. And I just spoke to the owner, all that, blah, blah, blah. But it's all fine.
It's not blah, blah, blah. That was a crazy experience.
It was really scary.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to die.
Yeah.
500% thought I was going to die. And very easily could have. That dog wanted to kill me. He would have.
Dog is also huge. I just want to confirm. Like,
I mean, it's the biggest pit bull I've ever been in space with.
No. Okay.
Tallest and biggest. And he's 10 months old. And that's another thing I could tell. Mm-hmm. If he was any older, I probably would have been dead. He was sort of
literally.
Like,
for sure.
When he was biting me and like on top of me and like getting at me, the only reason I know dogs really well. And that dog behavior was very much that of a young dog who was not trained well, not trained to fight, not trained to hurt people, but just not trained and not socialized. Mm. And he was just defending his house,
literally,
that I was walking by.
Yeah.
So anyway, that fucked me up pretty bad in ways that are coming out more each day. Like, I'm realizing different ways I feel vulnerable about that, and jaded, like different than I was before in this lifetime. You know what I mean? And I like don't want to leave without a weapon. You know what I mean? There's all this stuff, and it's a lot. It was a lot. And I think dealing with the wounds, literally cleaning out the wounds and like fixing them multiple times a day and making decisions around having access to bandages or whatever, it just feels like I have to think about it more even, which is what healing is like really facing the truth, you know, but it's adding to just all these like questions of my own vulnerability, some questions of mortality, and then like, what am I doing with this life if this is what I know now is I'm breathing. So that's going to change at some point, and what do I want to do between then, you know, now and then. And fighting with you every day is not one of them. So I've been really on a sort of like expanded mission of understanding like what we're doing. And if what the fighting is indicating is that we are facing things and healing, cool. If what the fighting is indicating is that we need to be doing something different than we're doing, I just want to be open to that too, because we could do this forever. I don't know if it's stubbornness or what, but like, I think you and I could fight every day forever and just be like, but we love each other, you know? I don't know. I mean, I don't know about it. I don't know what it, but I don't want it. in that way. Exactly. So I don't think it's necessary either.
It's a deeply biblical ass allegory to be living in real life.
What do you mean?
The dog, that's some shit that would happen like in a story, you know, but it literally happened to you. Like, you're on this walkabout and a dog, massive dog, at the very end of it, leaps up to teach you about life. That shit was crazy. Like, the way it happened.
Just wanted to tell that whole story because I realized on my walk, one of the things I realized was that I really wanted to take a walk. And that I often rely on or like wait for us to have like a break in our connection in order for me to do things for myself. Mm. That I'll wait for us to have a fight or I'll wait for, you know what I mean, something to happen before I choose to like go spend time with my girlfriend, for instance. Mm-hmm. And I'll think to myself, if we're good, if you and I are good and we're having a nice weekend or something, that I don't want to spend time away from you because it feels so important to be in our relationship, giving to our relationship, present in our relationship. And that if I have the opportunity to do that, I don't want to be giving away the goods. I don't want to be like building with someone else instead. And then I get to this point of realizing that like, I feel like we have set up a dynamic where us relating to other people feels mutually exclusive to us relating to each other. Mm. And all of that requires deep reflection, but what it started with for me is realizing that if I don't take a walk when I realize I want to take a walk, it's going to come out like bullshit. Mm. It's going to be this really ridiculous fight, leave the car, walk the thing, get attacked by a dog, you know what I mean? And then need to stand in the shower washing some of the blood off of me while you're standing there trying to help and pick the fight back up. Mm. I mean, what the fuck? I don't know why I have the ability to do that. I know I was existing on adrenaline in that moment. Mm. And I could have fought anybody about anything. Mm-hmm. Physically, spiritually, emotionally, verbally, whatever. I could have fought anybody about anything and won. I just didn't die, you know? Yeah. And I just am realizing how important it is to use the radical honesty with myself. Listen to it, trust myself, hold all of that, be real with all of that, and not try to like pretend like it's something else to not lose connection with you, for instance, to not lose someone, to not feel like they're going to go. And I think you and I do that a lot in our poly, where we both sacrifice what we actually want if we think the other person is going to like be far away.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, the thing about that morning was that I had wanted to go to get the propane tanks filled by myself. And you ask me so often, you'll be like, do you want to do this thing by yourself? And I'll be like, I don't. And part of it is, wow, this is going to be a lot. I don't know. I've not ever said this out loud, so I don't know how this is going to come out. But like, there's a part of me that like wants to know that you're safe, or like wants to protect you, or wants to like, and it's because I'm thinking about my own happiness and I know that I would be devastated by something happening to you. So that I'm like, it's deeply like parental or something, like trying to like helicopter parent somebody, but it comes from this place of like, well, if you're not with me, like where, how will I know that something, you're going to be okay, or something like that.
Are you sure it's not more about control? I mean,
that's what I'm saying. It's a control thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's deep control.
You're talking about it like it's care, but I'm hearing as control.
Okay. So it's like it's like the layer that it looked that I'm pretending that it's like, and then there's what it actually is. But then there's also the why of it. And the why of it is that I'm like worried about myself, and I'm like, I don't want to feel sad if something were to happen to you or if you were gone. So I need to take care of you all the time. That's the second level. And then I think the third level is like, but it's because I love you and I love spending time with you. Like, no, bitch, I like doing shit by myself, actually. Like, I do. I love spending time with you, but I do like to do some things by myself. And right before that, I had been in therapy, and therapy always makes me feel like I need space, honestly. And so I was like, I'm going to like get the truck and run it back by the trailer and like get the propane tanks, and like, I'm just going to take it. And, but then I was like, let me see if Ash wants to go, because like it would be nice to do it together. Mm. That's me on my like top level of like because I love her, you know. But, like I come to your room and you have the door closed, so I'm like, okay, she's doing something. But I knocked on the door and you're like, I'm like, you want to go get the propane tanks filled? Yeah, I'll go get the propane tanks filled. Whatever. So like we go to get the propane tanks filled, and we're driving. Okay, the first thing that got on my nerves was that you, okay, we're on the way to the place.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
In Vallejo, which is over a toll bridge. And I'd already thought, like, I'm going to have to go over this toll bridge. But we're at the exit before the toll bridge. And you were like, where are we going? And I was like, to the place to get the propane tanks. And you were like, no, there's a place right by our house in Elsa.
They know where we fucking live.
Okay. there's a place right by the house. Like, we don't need to go to Vallejo. Like, we don't need to go over this bridge. So I was like, dope, we don't need to go to toll bridge. I just immediately got off the exit and then we're like driving. And I was like, okay, can you get directions to the place where you know where it's filled? And you're like, oh, I don't know what it's called. I don't know.
It's but
you're
down like the street from our house.
Right. But I was like, but can you get us to the highway? Because we're like going around this bridge. So we're like in a random place. And you're like, but I was just so annoyed. I was like, if I had gone by myself, this wouldn't be happening. Like I would just be going to the place. But so then like we're driving and you're like, we're in this really beautiful area. And you're like, oh, look at that hike. That's such a beautiful hike. You want to stop and do this hike? And I'm like, I want to go get the propane tanks filled. What the fuck? Like, I don't want to go for a hike. But like, it was so clear that you did. And you'd said that earlier in the day too, that you wanted to go for a walk. And like, I'm like, she wants to go for a walk. Okay. Like, that's fine. But like, whatever. So then we're driving and then this whole fight pops off that was unrelated to any of this shit I've been talking about before. It was about, if I recall, it had something to do with he who shall not be named. My friend that we don't talk about on the show. But you know who you are. You would have to know. So the thing is, I feel like he is like a scapegoat for the problems that exist between us. And you've even said that before.
Interesting take.
No, but like, okay, is this, oh Lord. Okay. So we get to the stoplight where you get out of the car. And I was like, this was actually the second time that you tried to get out of the car too. Like earlier in a different place, you tried to get out. And I was like, please don't get out in moving traffic. But we're at the stop sign. You get out of the car. The propane tank comes out too. We have this whole interaction. And ultimately, we both got to do the thing that we wanted to do anyway.
But that's the us. That's the us part of it, is that you and I are always going to do exactly what we were going to do.
Totally.
100%. Totally. And that's where the honesty has to. That's where I'm like, that's why I don't like when you lie about this situation, is because I'm like, she's going to do exactly what she wants to do. I just wish I had some lead time for when you leave me for him. I wish I had some lead time for when you run off to do some like pretend straight world that so many lesbians are doing.
Oh my god, no.
Right now,
oh my god.
And y'all are gonna have babies in Hawaii and like all of the things Hawaii. That I'm just like, can I just get a heads up? Just be honest with me on the way so I can see it coming and do my own thing, which is the opposite of what you would do because you don't want me. No, come on.
Yeah, no, I got you. I'm just having my reaction.
You would want to have all the cards and then make your choice so I couldn't make a choice before you made it. You know what I'm saying? Like that's our dynamic. And so anyway, I we've gotten so far from this question, which is totally fine. It's also not.
This is what the wildness is of polyamory. If you're curious, is this processing? So if you're good on that, be monogamous. No, I have more thoughts about it, but just
I have more thoughts about it too. But like this, I just want to say that the radical honesty is not just so that other people hear you say true things. The radical honesty is so that you know how to communicate with yourself in a way that you get what you need. Because when you don't, it's gonna fuck your life up.
Do you know the strength card in tarot? I'm sorry.
No.
Okay. The strength card, the traditional version, I don't know. One of the main, whatever.
There is
one
an of image.
One of the versions of this card is a woman bowing down over a lion. Mm. And like, she's like trying to, it's the idea is that she's like being, neutral, like with the lion, like in her power, in her strength, does not really need to fight with the lion. But the lion is this, the lion is representative of so many different parts of ourselves. And like this, like the strength, excuse me, our inner strength. I'm sure there's somebody listening to this who's like really into tarot, well, who'd be like, I wouldn't explain it this way. But there, it's about like understanding and coming to terms with your inner strength. And Aries, the sign of the sun, the sun, the whole, like y'all are like power, you know what I mean? Like strength, the leader. Like that is your, so much of your battle is this like strength. And that you'd have so much experience literally with dogs, like, and animals, like with violence in this very particular way. You are the person that that is your lesson in this life. And it's just so incredible to me that it would be so literal. Does that make sense?
There's a harshness with which you offer me back my lessons, my, especially the ones that hurt, that I don't think you really think about me when you're offering it. Yeah, but
that's real.
I can see where you're coming from. I would get attacked by dogs. I don't know. Sure. I guess I would.
Damn. I guess I'm more in awe of it, and I don't mean to talk over. You were saying something and I'm not trying to talk over you. I just think it's a really beautiful statement of humanity.
What's beautiful about getting attacked by a dog over and
you're so strong and powerful, and you learn from each experience, and you're like growing, and like you're gaining a power that is like innate to you, you know? And it's only through like the healing of your wounds that you even have this level of wisdom. And it's just really beautiful to witness. And so I know that I'm talking about it like an art curator would talk about it, like very emotionally removed and just like, oh my God, like, look at this thing. And you're like, that's my life. So I apologize for not being more sensitive, but that's what
I'm saying. I don't think you are very sensitive, so I don't think it would come out. You know what I mean? Are you?
I think I'm extremely sensitive, but I think it lends to me being a little bit hard edged.
It's true. I have noticed you be sensitive with other people's, like your friend's deep emotional pain. It's true. I see you be sensitive with some people.
Okay. I hear that I went the wrong way with that.
I don't think you went the wrong way. Well, no, this is what comes from that way totally. That you went.
No, for sure. For sure.
Yeah. I don't know. You want to talk more about the question?
Did that shut you down?
I don't know. Shut? Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. I didn't mean to alienate you.
I mean, I don't want to like fuck with your, you know, you seemed excited about this realization you were having. I don't want to keep getting attacked by dogs, I guess, totally. Is part of it. Like I'm in this moment of like kind of being, I feel like changed, not for the better, right? In this exact second. Okay. I feel less capable, you know what I mean? In the grand scheme of things of like living my life. Yeah. I feel more like, like whatever, being home is safe. You know, not being the person I know myself to be, which is like out and happy and fearless and gregarious. And I just feel less and less capable of that all the time, which makes me feel less and less capable of being myself. Mm. I guess everybody learns, if you stay alive, you will learn to pivot from there at some point. But I'm not like, yay, another dog attack, to just add to the list of lessons and ways I grow. Grow
it's
scars.
Not quite reading
I mean,
rainbow
like,
for you.
My shoulder is like fucked. You know, you talk about having had a car accident in your early 20s, right? That fucked your shoulder, and you still, every day that you're doing yoga, you're still working with that injury. Mm. I feel like my shoulder got fucked, you know? Yeah. So I'm just in the midst, I think, of the tricky parts of the lesson still, and I'm maybe not ready to be so art museum about it with you, but that's not your fault. I don't think you did something wrong.
No, I know that. I feel you.
I would love maybe to hear more about what you think about the question just before we shove off.
I think that if you are honest with yourself and your partner, then any relationship can be wild. That it will be wild because of that, because the running the edges of honesty with another human being is some crazy shit. And if your partner knows half the things that you're hiding from them, that will make it plenty crazy. Mm. So yeah, it can be, yeah, it can be wild, and it doesn't have to be sexual, but I also think that you can have so much fun in a partnered relationship with honest communication about like what you need sexually,
totally,
and like really enjoy yourselves and have a lot of shit happen, and like wild shit.
I mean,
literally, I be with other partners, all kinds of stuff.
What do you mean, be with? They're talking about monogamy,
but like monogamous people can have threesomes too. You know what I mean? You don't think that's, you think that automatically makes people
interesting?
Poly?
I think that's a great question. Yeah. Back to the world. Yeah, totally. Do you think that two people who don't have ongoing relationships with other people sexually, but hook up sometimes together with another person, are they monogamous? There's no answer, but I am interested in what y'all think.
Me too. Very interesting.
Okay. I would call that person, those people, poly for sure.
Hit the comment box if you have a thought about
definitely.
That. I'm very curious
definitely.
To know what people think.
I think definitely monogamy can be wild. I know very few people, but because I think all relationships require radical honesty if you're if you're doing, if you want them to be fulfilling. I think it requires honesty. So there are, I think there are so many cool ways that people who are only dating one other person can be very honest about all their stuff. I mean, there are things that you know about me sexually that absolutely nobody knows. And I don't need anybody else to know. And it's not that I'm ashamed of it. It's just super private. And maybe I am ashamed of it. And maybe there are times when it'll be less private. But I think in those ways, I feel like there's a level of connection I have with you that I don't have with other people. And if we were monogamous, you know, you would know that stuff too. And I think it dramatically enhances our connection with each other. And that connection that has nothing to do with anyone else. And I think in that way, I wouldn't need to be poly to tell you. And if we knew those things about each other as monogamous people, those would be sexually and emotionally wild things that I think we could really explore a lot from. I think that all kinds of people have amazing fantasies that can really make a two-person relationship phenomenal sexually. Yeah. I mean, crazy sexually. And explore the depths of yourself and each other and everything you've ever wanted to think. I mean, that monogamy creates a container that other people cannot fuck with sexually. And that is powerful. I mean, that is a powerful experience. I'm not seeking that kind of power right now within relationship. I think it's amazing. I've had it. There is a level of trust that is very, very, very different because the things you have to share with a monogamous partner, it can be just a longer term trajectory of revealing everything. And I think in that way, it can be like this slower unfolding. And I think those things can be amazing for the right kinds of people. I think there's, you know, two water signs, two Scorpios, monogamous. I feel like their whole lives would just be a series of
secrets,
unveiling and revealing things to one another because it's built on love and trust. Because you wouldn't if you didn't trust the person, kind of thing, you know? You don't like
it. If you're two
faith.
Scorpios in a relationship, please hit the comment box. Like, I need to understand I've never met how that's happening. That is so interesting. That is an interesting idea.
So yeah, I think my question, and I love the question because I think it's a leading question, right? I think this monogamous person is like, bitch, I'm wild as fuck. And whoever wrote this in, I hope you are.
Person is excited to do some things.
Hell yeah. Adventure and challenge that poly people have, they're just different textures of the same adventure and challenge that you're exploring in yourself. Challenge is like, am I choosing to be brave? Do I want to meet this challenge? You can do that in any circumstance. And adventure is what you make it. I mean, as adventurous as your mind can be is as adventurous you can be in a monogamous partnership is how I feel. So it feels like the answer is obvious, but it's also a cool thing to talk about together.
Astro thought of the week.
Sure.
The full moon is in Virgo. It's like tomorrow or the day after. Maybe it's on Sunday.
Thursday night.
I think Thursday. Okay, yeah. Yeah.
Cardi Mine.
We're Virgo rising. And I feel like, and Chani, oh my God, it's going to be too late to listen to the week ahead for this week. But she was talking about how for Virgo, the level of study of details can be, since it's in the moon, it can be shone on ourselves and really like looking at the details of ourselves and what we really need and what is true and like what there's no compromising about and just like what is. And so this whole thing feels very in tune with the full moon in Virgo. Mm-hmm.
As a polyamorous person, I looked at a different astrologer today. Ooh. Channing and I talked about it. She's okay.
Yeah, she's cool.
And this is the Red Robe Astrology, which is on Instagram. It's this older white guy. Mm. And he's just got a very sweet, grandpa sort of vibe about him. But I was watching he's just a 90-second thing or 2-3 minutes. I don't know what he does. Something short and sweet. And he was speaking to the way that the full moon in Virgo is still under the Pisces sun. And so this emotion along with the exacting means that he was like, take extra care to not make any big decisions today or tomorrow. Because what you're going to do is need to be precise in the midst of the ocean. What are you doing precisely on the waves? You know what I mean? Like, it can't be the goal. Surfing is not precision sport. It is in some ways, right? But it's like also like about surrender. When you're on the ocean, you won't die more when you surrender. That's just, you more often won't die if there is some piece of surrender to you. And so that I think is as important as the exacting nature of Virgo and all of the things that can be, you know, gleaned and that you can yield from that precision. But in the midst of the choppy sea of emotion, the precision has to be a different goal. You don't make any big decisions right now.
But so the thing about what happens in the ocean, I'm so curious the sign of this person. I'm always curious, but I think maybe astrologers are largely air signs. Anyway, I feel
these
like
are air signs.
Air signs. I feel like there's this idea with non-water signs about getting in the water that it's about surfing on top of the waves or keeping your head above water.
Bitch, we drowning today.
It's not. It's about breathing underwater. That song by Hiatus Coyote, if you know, oh my God, go, look this go shit up. Them. Go get, yes, breathing underwater. That is what it is. And that is what Pisces fully understands. Pisces does not go out from the water. Fish don't leave water. So like they breathe emotion. And everybody else, even other water signs, are like, okay, but so we're only swimming? Like we're only doing water? And the Pisces is like, yeah, it's water. Like it's just, it's cool. So that it's like, you're never like the exacting. It's all fluid. The whole thing is just water. It's just swimming. And you just try to swim and you just try to breathe under the water. And I think everybody can.
Breathe through the emotion.
Actually, maybe everybody can't, but yeah, breathe through the emotion. Yeah, breathe through. Yes, exactly. Hoi. You want to get out of here?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, all right. Dear Jessamine is produced by Tenderfire Media. For more on our show, follow us on Spotify and Instagram at Dear Jessamine, or head over to our website, dearjessamine.com. If you're an Apple Podcast person, you can subscribe to our show. And while you're there, write us a review. They really help us out a lot, and they give you a place to let folks know how you feel about our show. Here's our team. Kylie C. Roberts is our editor/producer. Angel Foster and Naya Williams do our social media. Janie Lepper draws our art, and Fruit Snack plays our theme song. Montez Mickles is our director of production. Anna Rooney is my chief of staff. Amber Richardson is Ash's chief of staff. Ash Danger Phoenix is my co-host and co-producer. And I am Jessamine Stanley. And we believe that no one should be in jail for weed.
Tender Fire.
Drop page.